The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the August 2020 issue of Boys Life magazine. And we're going to begin here on page 8, Collecting Heads Up. Add a spark of magic to your collection with the new Harry Potter magical capsules. The first series, 10 capsules, are shaped like the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry iconic crest. Each collectible comes with 7 surprises, including a mini character. Since 2017, I have collected bottle caps. Right now, I have 76. When I get a cap, I nail it on a 4x4x2 block of wood until I have 9 on a block. I also collect stamps, 25 rocks, 32, and postcards, 10. I guess you could say I collect collections. I subscribe to Boys Life, and I enjoy reading about what other scouts collect. That's from Joseph N. in Memphis, Tennessee. I love to read books. The book series that I collect include Dog Man, Captain Underpants, Bad Guys, and Frankie Pickle. That's from Ryan B. in New Lenox, Illinois. I collect Hot Wheels. I have almost 300 Hot Wheel cars. That's from Jeremy E. in Ringwood, New Jersey. I collect caps from soda bottles. That's from Camera B. in Sulphur Springs, Texas. Moving on to Heads Up Food. Banana equals berry. You've probably heard the debate about whether a tomato is a fruit or a veggie. But have you heard the one about a banana being a berry? It's bananas, but it's true. A fruit is considered a berry if it is fleshly and grown from a plant with a single ovary. Bananas meet these criteria, but, believe it or not, strawberries, blackberries, and raspberries don't. They are grown from plants with multiple ovaries, which eliminates their classification as true berries. Besides bananas, other fruit that's unexpectedly classified as berries include kiwis, tomatoes, grapes, watermelons, and avocados. Well, maybe they're not technically berries, but who cares? Strawberries are delicious. Moving on to page 10, we have a picture here and a dark, dark wolf. Helps with wolves. Last summer, I got to experience something amazing at Seacrest Wolf Preserve in Chipley, Florida. The preserve educates people about the importance of wolves and their impact on the environment. As volunteers, my mom and I help keep the foxes and wolves' living areas cleaned, as well as the toured area. We watched and helped as people came to see the wolves. The preserve trainers educated tourists on how wolves are afraid of humans and how to avoid an attack by moving quickly and staying low. Guests got to see 3 packs, and they even howled with the wolves. My favorite part was feeding the wolves. We also got to pet the wolves, meet the foxes, hold a skunk, and feed the chunky raccoons. The Seacrest Wolf Preserve is an amazing place. I learned so much information that I never knew before. That's from T.J. Harold G. in Port Charlotte, Florida. First Scout Adventure. Many exciting events have happened lately. I went on my first scout campout. We went backpacking, and although I fell many times, it was exhilarating. Each time I fell, I just remembered that I was a scout and that I shouldn't cry over something so simple. Then we passed a graveyard, and I made my favorite joke. People are dying to get in there. In the end, we hiked 11 miles. It was so exhausting, but worth it at the same time. Have a question and don't know who to ask? Hey, Jenny and Steve are here for you. I like to bond with my family. Any ideas on what we can do, all do as a group? Jenny. Well, what an awesome idea to plan some fun family activities. My family had weekly Monopoly and Trivial Pursuit matches, and it was the best. On Sundays, we also had a family meeting where we talked about the week, how things went, what was good, what bummed us out, and what trips or activities we wanted to plan. These meetings almost always ended with us cracking up about some silly thing and resulted in lots of fun family outings such as bowling nights, mini golf, and ski trips. And Steve, well, it's tricky to say without knowing the composition and interests of your crew, but one activity that always helped my family bond growing up was game night. Top Rex, Uno Flip, and the Domino's variation called Chicken Foot. Both accommodate almost all ages and large numbers of players while stimulating thinking and chatter much more than, say, a movie. I still play these games with my nieces, and we always have a blast. Main event, page 14 through 16. I have a picture here of a beautiful park-like area. Preparation and teamwork are the only path to success on this high adventure challenge. Anthony Frazzoli aces his swim test as instructors look on from a nearby canoe in case he runs into trouble. Spoiler alert, he didn't. Anthony Frazzoli crouched next to David Benavides as they both stared into the churning white water. "You ready for this?" Anthony asked. David nodded. "But you go first." Anthony, 17, winked and scooted along the muddy riverbank. With a sudden whoosh, he was pulled away by the fast current and shot off downriver. David, also 17, watched his fellow scout floating on his back, his life jacket keeping Anthony above water and adding to his speed. Then, with a yell and a laugh, David jumped in. Trial by water. The two scouts from Troop 1367 in Woodbridge, Virginia, had completed their first high adventure experience in Maine's northern woods. Most of the troop had never done anything like this. But they had trained hard. They were prepared. "It was a tough time," 17-year-old Keegan Menezes says before launching into the bubbling river ride. Climbing Mount Cadahin was really hard, but awesome. Before they summited the highest point in Maine, they had to get through the first half of the adventure. Flat water paddling was simple enough, and the rapid sections were tense but manageable. "But we couldn't do it to the whole way," Anthony says. "We had to carry the boat sometimes." This portaging of their canoes was the toughest part of their water experience. Lugging the 65-pound Royal X crafts up and down rocky, tree-choked hillsides was the last thing their burning muscles needed after paddling for hours at a stretch. "But when we got to put it back in the water, it was all worth it," Keegan says. "None of us had much practice, but we'd all drilled hard on proper technique before leaving Virginia. We couldn't have made it otherwise." Preparation and teamwork got them successfully through the water portion of their adventure. But no sooner had they set their own oars down than it was time to lace up their boots for the mountain assault. Hearts of stone. "The water was really good warm-up for the mountain climb," says James Garrison, 17. "I'm a huge fan of literature, so I wanted to climb where Henry David Thoreau had all the way back in the 1840s. First recorded as being climbed in 1804, Mount Katahdin is the northern end point of the 2,180-mile Appalachian Trail. The scouts had a few practice hikes at local parks and in the Shenandoah Mountains, but the magnitude of the elevation was unlike anything they had tried back home. It was pretty intimidating," 14-year-old Yusuf Adikari says about staring up at the 5,269-foot mountain shrouded in fog. "But we had each other's backs on the water, and we had them on the mountain." This proved true when the climb began to test the boys and the adult leaders. "Along with the usual bumps and bruises, I fell and scraped both my hands pretty bad on a rock," James says. "It was tough, but I kept going because I wanted to make my dad proud. Their strong spirit and teamwork helped overcome the scraped knees and hands, freezing temperatures and painful cramps in their exhausted legs. Everybody gave a big cheer." 17-year-old Gabe Stockauer says about reaching the top, "We could hear the echo for miles, and the view went on forever." Even Venezes carries his canoe to the next body of water. It's called portaging. And when done correctly, it's a lot easier than it looks. Then the guide find time for some swimming during their first afternoon in the backcountry, falling out of your boat in moving water. It happens to everyone sooner or later. You get tipped out of your boat on a fast-moving river. Getting back in isn't always as easy as it might seem. First, don't panic. Water is not the enemy. Fear of it is. Roll onto your back. Keep your feet pointed downstream and shoulder-width apart. Use your feet to bounce off any rocks. When the water slows down, try swimming to the side of the river. Get out and wait for help. Maine High Adventure Base. Every year, hundreds of scouts head into the backcountry of northern Maine for hiking and whitewater adventures. These include climbing Mount Katahdin, the state's highest peak, and paddling on the same waters Henry David Thoreau did more than 150 years ago. Packages include food, camping equipment, van transportation, and a guide who accompanies the group for safety and provides fun stories and advice about everything the scouts see. And then here's Colin McCaney, left, and Keegan Menezes approach the summit of Mount Katahdin, the highest point and peak in Maine. Moving on to pages 18 through 21, a picture here of tiger, quarls sifaka, and some Burmese star tortoises, saving the world's species one photo at a time. Eagle Scout Joel Sartor is on a mission to photograph every animal species in the world's zoos, aquariums, and wildlife sanctuaries. His project, the National Geographic Photo Ark, includes around 10,000 species with about 5,000 to go. Sartor hopes his work will help make people aware of the importance of wildlife conservation. Here are some of his photos. A red wolf. Golden snub-nosed monkey. Joel Sartor carefully photographs a dwarf caiman at the Sunset Zoo in Manhattan, Kansas. Fiji Island banded iguana. Bornean orangutan. African white black-eyed vulture. Florida panther. Then it shows Mrs. Sartor taking pictures of, looks like a bear. Another kind of iguana. See thousands of animal portraits in the National Geographic Photo Ark and learn about each species at joelsartor.com and nationalgeographic.org/projects/photoark, as well as on Instagram at Joel Sartor. Clockwise from bottom left, a 9-week-old clouded leopard cub climbs on Joel Sartor, working with trainer Scott Handley and one of his bears in a California park, photographing Jaguarundi at Bear Creek Feline Center in Florida, working with a Mexican beaded lizard at Lincoln Children's Zoo in Nebraska, a gentoo penguin colony in Antarctica, sandhill cranes on Nebraska's Platte River. Moving on to page 22, the gear guy. For the short haul, get the best day pack of your day-long adventures. Day hiking is simple. Stuff what you need into a small pack and head off for a day of adventure. What can seem complicated is picking the right day pack. Buying tips. Your first question, what do you need a day pack for? Determining when, where, and how far you hike and how much gear you'll carry is a first step toward narrowing choices. Do you want to go lightweight and minimalist or have abundant capacity and an assortment of pockets and features? Should your day pack be built for toughness or be lighter for trekking easygoing trails? Then, of course, there's the price. After answering those questions, look at these factors when choosing a day pack. Capacity. A day pack that can hold between 16 and 22 liters has enough space for most day hikes for which you're carrying extra layers of clothes, food, water, and a few incidentals. Camera, first aid kit, fishing pole. If you want to carry more, especially in wintry conditions, look at packs with 28 to 40 liters of space. For a quick hike in good weather, a 12-liter pack works. Suspension. Any pack's comfort weight limit depends on its internal frame, if there is one, and suspension, the shoulder straps and waist belt. Packs less than about 1.5 pounds, usually offer minimal support and are made to carry about 10 to 12 pounds. For carrying up to 15 or 20 pounds or more comfortably, packs have a metal wire frame and or plastic frame sheet, padded shoulder straps, and a waist belt. Fit. As with larger backpacks, the fit affects comfort, especially with more weight in the pack. Models made for youth have smaller, narrow suspensions. Teens can often wear adult models in which small day packs designed for 10 pounds or less often come in one size, while larger day packs often come in two or three sizes and in men's and women's models. Organization. If you like an organized pack, look for quick access to the main compartment, like a clamshell-style top zipper or a slide zipper, plus multiple external pockets. The trade-off? Those features add cost, weight, and bulk. Materials. While many hiking day packs are made with similar materials, some are constructed more durable materials. But again, this might increase weight and cost. The best day packs. For younger scouts, if you're 8 to 12 years old, take a look at the Rycoop Tarn 18-pack. It has an ideal design for a young hiker. Zippers to quickly access the main compartment, as well as a front pocket, a stretch front pocket, hip belt pockets, padding in the shoulder straps and hip belt, and a ventilating back pad. At 18 liters, the Tarn has the space and organization for water, snacks, a jacket, and maybe a favorite action figure. 1 pound, 1 ounce. Bargain buy. On a budget, the Kelty BSA 15L day pack has a spacious 15 liters of capacity and two external pockets. The one unisex size fits torsos 18 to 21 inches for tall teens. Stuffing into its own top pocket, it's packable and light enough to bring on backpacking trips for side hikes. But with no frame, belt, or sternum strap, consider its comfortable comfort limit well under 10 pounds. Best for short outings. 15.5 ounces. Light all-purpose pack. For coming in at just 18 ounces, the North Face Chimera 18-pack punches above its weight, starting with comfort even on long hikes carrying up to 15 pounds thanks to a harness that disperses the load across wide shoulder straps. Its very cool Dyno Cinch system compresses the load to improve stability using cords within reach when wearing the pack. The 18-liter capacity is enough for all-day, three-season hikes and includes quick access to two zippered compartments plus convenient mesh pockets on the shoulder straps. Biking pack. If you're serious about mountain biking, the Camelback Mule Hydration Pack offers top performance. The streamlined torso-hugging unisex harness remains stable whether you're cranking uphill or ripping downhill. The main compartment, accessed quickly with an external zipper, has 9 liters of space and with 5 external pockets. It's easy to store bike tools and other small items. The pack also features a stretch pocket and external hooks. Bonus, it comes with a 3-liter Camelback bladder to help you keep hydrated. 1 pound, 15 ounces. Ultra light and versatile. Fast and light adventurers should look closely at the Six Moon Designs Daybreaker's Day Pack. It has impressive capacity for its weight. 24 liters in the main compartment, an extension collar that adds 4 liters, plus stretch woven pockets on the front and sides, 2 liters total. The 210D nylon rollback delivers good durability, and a removable back pad doubles as a sit pad. For committed ultralighters, the hip belt and hydration sleeve can be removed to slash 3 ounces, 1 pound, 4 ounces. For bigger loads, for adventurers that aren't short, casual or light, the men's Duder Trail Pro 36 and women's Trail Pro 34 SL offer big volume and lots of features, plus a way more capacity and versatility than many competitors. The spring steel suspension and plastic frame feet let you haul 20 to 35 pounds. This traditional top loader has a U-shaped zipper to access the main compartment and 6 pockets, ice axe, and trekking pole attachment, and a rain cover. And just try to damage it. Won't happen. 3 pounds, 7 ounces. Now, the adventures of Pee-wee Harris. He looks at caving. Pee-wee, I don't mean to brag, but like a bat, I'm very much at home in a cave. Friend, really? Oh, yeah, I can squeeze through just about any opening. I also had an uncanny sense of direction in the cave. This way, everyone. I'm not bothered by adverse conditions like high water, and even complete darkness gives me a chance to practice my echolocation skills. So stick with me, my friends, and I'll show you the wonders of this cave better than any bat. Actually, we'll stick with our guide. Last time, Pee-wee, the bat got stuck after only 5 minutes. The Wacky Adventures of Pedro. Pedro, oh, okay, Lance. It's time for you to perform the cross-chest carry.
I've got this life-saving merit badge in the bag.
Marvin is a victim. Help! Splash! 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 On his way, he's helping Marvin. Swoosh! Oh, he's pulling. Marvin. Oh, thanks, Huff. You've saved my life. And he was supposed to be the one saving Marvin. Oh, well, that's why it's the Wacky Adventures of Pedro. Scouts in action. Peter Kroll, 12, was getting ready for school at his home in Mansfield, Texas, when his great-grandmother called from next door to tell Potter's mom there was a fire in his great-grandma's den. Potter and his brother ran next door and entered into their great-grandmother's smoke-filled house. Their mom soon followed with a fire extinguisher. Potter found another fire extinguisher and used it to put out the fire. His brother helped their great-grandmother toward the door as their mom called the fire department. But the fire soon roared back to life. Potter allowed everyone to escape ahead of him and used his mom's fire extinguisher to keep the flames at bay as he packed out of the house. Potter then ran to open the gate of their property to allow the arriving firemen to enter his great-grandmother's house and put out the fire. No one was harmed during the ordeal. First-class scout Potter Krull, a member of Troop 2014 chartered to Community of Hope United Methodist Church in Mansfield, Texas, received an honor medal with crossed palms for his actions. It is scouting's highest award for bravery. He saved them from raging water. Luke Nelson, 13, was fishing with his uncle and grandpa in the fast-moving waters of the Mississippi River near St. Cloud, Minnesota, when their boat hit a submerged rock, sending Luke's grandpa into the water. Luke's grandpa struggled to stay afloat in the churning river. When he went under, Luke's uncle jumped in and brought him to the surface. Neither man was wearing a life vest, and both were soon overcome by the powerful current. Luke had never piloted their boat before, but he quickly steered the craft through the choppy water to reach his uncle and grandpa. Luke's uncle grabbed the back corner of the boat while Luke helped his grandpa get a firm grip before towing him both back to shore. No one was harmed during the ordeal. Star Scout Luke Nelson, a member of Troop 459, chartered to Colonial Presbyterian Church in Overland Park, Kansas, received a heroism award for his actions. He saved a girl thrown from a kayak. Matthew Glazer, 16, was tubing in the rapids of Pennsylvania's Delaware River when a girl nearby was thrown from her kayak. The girl was struggling in the fast-moving water, but her friends were downstream and couldn't make their way back to help her. The girl was screaming for help when Matthew reached her. Both Matthew and the girl were pulled under at first, but Matthew was soon able to lift her onto his raft. They moved into calmer waters, and the girl rejoined her friends and thanked Matthew for his help. Later, Matthew found the girl's kayak and returned it to her. Life Scout Matthew David Glazer, a member of Troop 1, chartered to Our Lady of Mount Carmel School in Boonton, New Jersey, received a heroism award for his actions. And now, how about some think and grin? Colin, can a frog jump as high as an average tent? Dave, of course, an average tent can't jump. Zane, that's from Pedro, the male burrow. Zane, how can you tell when a scout has earned the cooking merit badge? Sam, I don't know. They make good use of their time. T-H-Y-M-E. T, Tennis, did you know that I was a banker?
Alex, no. Why'd you quit?
I lost interest. That's from Tennis T in Short Hills, New Jersey. A puny book, Wilderness First Aid by Izzy R. Wright. That's from Will B. in Arlington, Massachusetts. Ian, what did the detective say about the mystery of the deep hole? Mike, I haven't the foggiest. Ian, I'll get to the bottom of this. That's from Ian H. in Sterling, Virginia. Crescenzio, what do you call a sleeping bull? David, what? Crescenzio, a bulldozer. That's from Crescenzio A. in Norwalk, California. TJ, Benny walked to the store to buy some camouflage shorts. Chris, so what happened? TJ, he looked everywhere, but he couldn't find any. That's from TJM in Waterville, Ohio. Ain, why did the lady put roller skate wheels under her rocking chair? Maggie, I don't know why. So she could rock and roll. That's from Ann in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Marcus, why did Superman cross the road? Lucas, why? He was tired of flying over it. That's from Marcus H. in Llandaff, New Hampshire. Jackson, what type of veggie can't keep a secret? Jeff, what type? Jackson, a leek. Jackson M. in Rockwell, Texas. Eduardo, what did the cow get for its birthday? Eliza, what? Eduardo, a calculator. That's from Edward M. in Alamo, California. Maddox, what happened to Thor when he missed the nail with his hammer? Tony, I don't know. Maddox, he got a Thor thumb. That's from Maddox W. in Dubuque, Iowa. And finally, Corbin, what did the Swiss cheese say to the cheddar cheese before its date? Kate, what? Looking sharp. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.
The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. For more information about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org. You can also give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. The North Carolina Reading Service. We breathe words into your life.